Seat. Be seated. Or not. It's up to you. Oh, what joy. When we get home.
We don't know nothing about that kind of joy. The joy we understand right here ain't nothing like the joy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, what joy. When we get home, we'll rest beneath that cloudless dome. In that land where saints never die, we're going to sing hallelujah by and by. Today is a rough one. Today is a rough one. And it's always a difficult time when you lose a friend. I'm all right. It's always a difficult time when you lose a friend. Even more so when that friend is a man of God. Because men of God are hard to find. They are rare. And our friend loved us. But he loved God more. He loved God more. And that's the reason why you're emotional today. It's not because he loved you. It's because he loved God. And the love of God shined through his life. And the good thing is this, y'all. God loved him more. God loved him more. So God needed his friend. We will never be the same. So let's not even say that we will. We'll be different from this day forth. But with the grace of God, we will overcome. Oh, what joy when we get home. Rest beneath that cloudless dome in that land where saints never die. In that land where saints never die. If you don't hear anything, in that land where saints never die. We're going to sing praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By and by. I'm going to try to stick to the script. Because the best chance of me finishing is if I stay close to the script. Turn your Bibles to John, the 14th chapter. Even in difficult times, it's the Christian's responsibility to get their encouragement, to get their motivation from the Word of God. In the book of John, the 13th chapter, Jesus has told his disciples a number of things. He told them that Judas would betray them, or one would betray them. And then he tells them that I'm getting ready to go. And I'm getting ready to go a place where you can't go with me right now. And you could imagine what feeling had to be on that day when Jesus is talking to his friends and telling him that I'm getting ready to go. You could imagine how disturbed, how restless they were when hearing that the man who had been walking with them all this time, the man who had been getting them over all of the trials that they've been going through, the man that they saw walk on water, the man that they saw heal the sick and raise the dead, you can imagine what's going on in their hearts when he says, I gotta go. And he talks about that in chapter 13. And then in chapter 14, he says, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. From this passage of scripture, I'd like to just offer you up the title, A Conversation Among Friends. A conversation among friends. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. And it's important for you to understand, Jesus is saying, you know, stop your heart from being troubled. I told you already, can you imagine what they were feeling like when Jesus said, at this point in time, don't let your heart be troubled? Lord, you've been with us the whole time. We're getting ready to engage in the fight of our lives, and we're going to do it without you. And he looks at them, he says, no, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. There are going to be some situations, Heart Street, that bring us to our knees. But there's something that is critical for us to overcome, and that is our ability to believe. He says, believe in me. Now, you got to understand this. If they don't believe in God, and believe in Jesus, everything he said after this means nothing. I need you to understand it. Everything that is said in the rest of verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the book of John has no validity. It means nothing at all if they don't believe. He says, believe in me. This is the turning point of the scripture. Believe in me. If the friends of God are willing to believe in God himself, then everything else that he says is comforting. I need you to understand, because as we walk through this journey that we're getting ready to walk through right now, we will not make it through this journey if we don't believe. The word of God means nothing to us unless we believe it. Yeah, so I want you to understand that we're getting ready to walk through a storm. But the one thing that will sustain us, Eric, as we go through this storm, is our belief in God. Believe in me. The same is true to us. We got to believe. Everything is predicated upon the Christian's belief in the word of God. I got you to understand, because it's going to be some stuff that's going to make it hard for you to believe. And if you lose your belief, if you lose your faith, if you lose your trust in God, it's going to be absolutely impossible to walk through. You got to believe. We're going to walk through. Let me tell you something. We just walked upon a storm. And we're going to walk through the storm. We're going to walk through it together. We're going to heal together. But we're going to heal as we believe. Yeah, he said, believe in me. But he said, you believe in God. The whole book of John is designed to explain the divinity of Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Yeah, and the Word was manifested. The whole book of John is designed to teach the world that Jesus is He says, you believe in God. You believe in his sovereignty. You believe in his omnipotence. You believe in his omnipresence. You believe in his omniscience. Don't you believe in those? That's what he said. He said, you all believe in that. But now, I need you to believe in me. Now, this is a very, very interesting piece of the scripture. Because when he says, you believe in God, now you also believe in me. See, what Jesus is saying at this point in time, he says, I know that you believe in the all-powerful God. I know you do. But right now, friends, I need you to believe in me. Who is he saying? I need you to believe in me, your friend, Jesus. I need you to believe in the person, the compassionate friend that has been walking this journey with you. I need you to believe in the one who has come this far with you along the way. I need you to believe in the man that the man that you have seen wept, the man that you have seen rise the dead. I need you to believe in me. See, this is big because what he's saying, this is how we know it's a conversation amongst friends. Let me tell you, it's almost like Jesus came and he brought the group of disciples together and he sat around a coffee table. And what he's saying to them is, listen, y'all, God is good. I am God. God will deliver you, but I need you to not only believe in God the Father, God in his sovereignty, God in all of his power. I need you to believe in me, your friend. See, it just means something to me to be able to hear a word from a friend. Sometimes conversations, the content of the conversation is not that important. It's not just about what's said. It's about who said it. Okay. Now, I don't want you to think I'm saying that what Jesus said is not important. I'm trying to let you understand that it is more important because Jesus is talking as a friend. Okay. See, I've gone through some things. You've gone through some things. We're going through something now. And I'm telling you the one thing that we got to be is friends. We got to be in a place where when I hear you talk to me, I hear you talk to me not just as someone who loves God, but as a friend who loves me. Right. Jesus is saying, I'm your friend. Yeah, yeah. Listen to me. Now, I'm not just God. Believe in God. I need you to believe in God, but I also need you to believe in Jesus, your friend. Yeah, it's important to have a friend like Jesus. Whatever you're going through, you're going to need a friend. And I want to tell you because Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. See, now, if you look at the rest of this text, and I ain't going to be long, I promise. If you look at the rest of this text, I want you to look at it from this lens. This is just not the Savior getting ready to go to the cross to die. This is a friend talking to a friend, telling him what he's getting ready to do for his friend. Y'all missed that. This is a friend talking to a friend, telling him what he's getting ready to do for his friends. You need to understand it. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. Now, I want you to understand, what is he saying? Now, there's a lot of different theological arguments about this. Some people say that many rooms means that when you get to glory, there's going to be elevation. You don't start here. You're going to build your way up to the top, all of that kind of stuff. That's not what it means. He said, in my Father's house, there is many rooms. That means there's room for us all. Isn't it good to go to a friend's house and you know when you house, he got a space for you. Y'all not hearing me. It's good to go to a friend's house and realize that when you get to a friend's house, that friend has prepared a place for you. Yeah, you know, I got a few friends, and my friends come, I want you to know this bed was made for you. I prepared this place for you in my Father's house. Many rooms means that that's enough room for us all. Can you imagine at the table? Could you imagine Jesus sitting at the table with all his disciples, all of his friends at that point in time, and he's trying to encourage them, he's trying to reassure them that I'm going to a place, but where I go in my Father's house, there's room for all of us. Oh, nobody's going to be left out. There's many rooms. Our earthly houses will become overcrowded. There's going to be some. Only a few of y'all can stay with me. I want you to understand. Only a few of y'all can get in my house. After a while, there ain't going to be no room. If you go to a hotel, after a while, they're going to be booked. But in heaven, in God's house, there's going to be room for us all. And how do I know there's going to be room for us all? Because my friend told me if so. My friend told me, come on, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I've got a friend that knows the landscape of heaven. Oh my God, y'all, listen. Listen, you got to get here. I got a friend who understands and knows the landscape of heaven. Don't be afraid in this world. People may shut their doors on you, but God won't. There's plenty of rooms in heaven. Our friend knows the landscape. Our friend can be trusted. See, how do I know it can be trusted? He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. A lot of times we don't understand why that is in there. That's because Jesus is talking to his friends like a friend. You know, when you talk to your friend, you say, hey, Richard, you know I was at the golf course the other day and I shot a 68. And then I look at you and say, man, I'm telling you, if it wasn't true, I would have told you. What am I saying? I'm saying, you know me. And you know it might be I shot a 60, but you know me enough and you love me enough and I love you enough. Well, you trust what I say. Jesus said to him, I'm a friend you can trust. If it were not so, I'd have told you. It tells us that we have an honest God, a God that will never lead us astray. You know my word is true. Trust our friend. Listen, as we walk tomorrow and the next day, and throughout the week and throughout the month, it's important for us to understand that we got to believe in God first. That's the major point. You got to believe in God. And then you got to believe in not only God the Father, you got to believe in God the friend. And you got to believe that the God that said, I will never give you more than what you can bear, trust it. You got to believe that he's honest. You got to believe that he's caring. I'm so glad that as we walk through, we got a friend we can trust. Isn't it good to have a friend you can trust? Oh my God, I don't know. I don't know how you feel. I'm not going to try to imagine. I can just tell you how I feel right now. And I'm telling you, the only thing that gives me a little comfort is that I got a friend I can trust. I got a friend who loves me. A friend that won't forget about me. He said, I go to a place for you, and I'll come back and take you with me. Isn't it good to know that he's going to prepare a place? But not that he's just going. He's coming back to get us. See, the house is already built. What do you mean, darling? The house is already built. I know it's already built because he said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. So he's not going to prepare the house. He's not going to build the house. He's going to make sure it's set up just the way I like it. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to go fix your bed. Put your favorite snacks in the freezer. I'm going to go make sure everything that you love is that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to my daddy's house that's already there. But I'm preparing a place for my friends who's coming. Oh, my God, I'm so glad we got a friend. He said, I'm going to ensure it's nice. You know, when we used to have friends over, we would do stuff. Trey would come over sometimes, and we would leave church on Wednesday night. And he would come over in the summertime, and we would go out to go eat. And as we went to go eat, we'd be sitting there eating, and my mama would get up and leave. And she would go home. And we would say, Mama, where you going? And she would say to Dad, like, I'm going to make sure everything's together. Trey coming over. I'm going to make sure the sheets on the bed are clean. She would say, I know the house is there, but I want to go make sure he's comfortable when he get there. God is saying, I'm going to ensure that the place is nice. And then once I make sure it's nice, I'm coming back to get it. You got to come see it for yourself. You got to come see it for yourself. Jesus is my friend. And he's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. Because he's got something for you that he needs you to see. He took one of our friends. He took him back because he owned him anyway. But I'm going to see my friend Jesus
with my friend William, and we're going to all have a good time in the house that we call this mansion of God, in a perfect room. I'm just trying to tell you, believe that we are going to see our friend. But the next time we see our friend, it will be with the friend named Jesus. I'm trying to help you. I need you to understand that we're going to make it if we trust the Lord. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we shall see it afar. For the Father, what does he do? He waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place. They're in the sweet. By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, we're going to see it again. But when we see it again, we're going to see him in a good place. We're going to see him without any pain. We're going to see him without struggle. And he's going to be right there with the Lord himself. I'm trying to tell you, Lord, y'all should be excited that when we see our friend again, we'll see him with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, the good thing about our friend was ready to go. I'm just trying to help you. He was ready to go. Ain't that what he said, Michelle? He said, I'm ready to go. He knew it was a plan for him. I'm ready to go. And I'm going to be ready to see him soon. But when I get ready to see him, I'm going to see him right next to Jesus. Lord have mercy. Somebody help me. In the sweet by and by. We are going to see Jesus. He said, I'm going to prepare a place. Well, where I am there, you will come also. This is the magic. This is the power of the entire text. For the Christian, heaven is wherever Jesus is. Oh, my goodness. Listen, he didn't have to tell me about the rooms. He didn't have to tell me about the place he was preparing. He didn't have to tell me none of that. That was just icing on the cake. All Jesus had to say to me is that I'm going and I'm bringing you with me. Well, you, Lord, I want to go to. I just want to be with the Lord. We don't know how to speculate what heaven looks like as long as we're with Jesus. The best definition of heaven is a state where we'll always be with the Lord. I don't see y'all. Y'all don't understand. I just want to be with Jesus. And I started asking a lot of questions the other day. And I said to myself, you know what? I need to not ask these questions because one thing I know is I know my friend William. He wants to be with Jesus too. And he always was prepared to be with Jesus. I told Kayla when I came here about a year ago, Brother Pride was talking to me and we was leaving on Sunday. And he said, Darwin, I love you. I see you Wednesday. But then he said something that all he always said was stuck in my heart. He said, if the Lord will. He said, if the Lord will, I'll see you Sunday. I talked to him on the phone. Every time he hung on the phone, he said, if God will. You know what he was letting me know? He was letting me know I'm okay with whatever happens as long as it's the will of God. God loves us. We just got to follow his will. See, I believe it was God's will for him to be with Jesus. And I believe he's happy there. Here's the blessing within the blessing. Even though Jesus is gone to prepare a place, he still hears his friends. Amen. Where I am, you also. See, there has never been a tear shed for sin from Adam's beginning to now that Jesus didn't witness. He's not so far from us that if we sigh, every sigh you make, he hears. If there's a cry coming up from a heart broken, God will hear that cry. See, he might be gone to prepare a place, but he ain't gone too far where he can't hear what we're going through. And see, I love a friend like that. See, a friend like that, when he's gone to prepare, but he's also close, that means he's willing to step back into a situation. Oh, he never even left the situation, but if he did, he's stepping back in to help me get through it, even though while he's preparing. Let me give you the illustration, and this will help you. I'm in my house the other day, and I'm in the back room, and I am preparing this sermon. And while I'm preparing this sermon, My son did something crazy, like jumped off the top step or something like that. I don't know what it was. But I was in the back room, and he jumped or did something he wasn't supposed to do. And I heard him cry. I heard him cry, y'all. I dropped that laptop so fast. Walked down them steps and said, "What's going on?" I was in a place where I was preparing for something, but I was still close enough where I could hear my voice cry. God might be preparing the room, but he's still close enough to hear you weep. And he's so good that when he hears you weep, he's going to step out of whatever it is he's doing to get where you are to help you out. I love Jesus. That's my friend. That's my friend. And that's the reason why we're going to be all right. He's not so far. Heaven's not so far away as to be inaccessible to the smallest child. God doesn't miss a tear. He knows it's coming before it comes. Us. Jesus, our friend, he hears us. If we believe that, we'll come through. Believe in me. Believe in God. You believe in God. Also believe in me, your friend. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place that where I go, you may be also. Oh, it's beautiful. We got to be able to make it through. But the only way we're going to make it through is if we believe in a friend. Here's the practical piece. Y'all, don't nobody feel too happy today. Hearts are heavy. Minds are questioning. Emotions are all over the place. There's a void that we quite don't even know how to feel. And maybe we'll never be able to feel. But there's also a God. A God who loves us so much that even when Jesus was getting ready to face his darkest hour, he stopped just for 4 or 5 verses to tell his friends, "Don't be worried." See, what you don't understand is that Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. And he knew he was going to the cross. But even though he knew he was going to the cross, he stopped for a little while, had a conversation amongst his friends, and he said, "Don't you be worried. Let not your heart be troubled." I tell you, if it's only one thing that'll help you make it through tomorrow, let that one thing be that Jesus loves you and that Jesus has gone to prepare a place. So where our friend William is, we'll be able to go one day soon. I love you. You love each other. We love each other. God loves us more. And that's where we have to rest, is in the love of God. He hears you. He heard your prayer this morning, Brother Reese. He know what you're thinking. He hear you, Sister Pryor. He know where your heart is. He gonna help it. In Hart Street, the rest of us gotta get ourselves together, because the way he might help is to use us to help somebody. I know we all struggling right now, but we got to get ourselves together so we can help the others. Oh, when I walked out here this morning, I'm going to tell you what was a help for me. I walked out this thing, and I almost locked coming to that door. I'm going to tell you why, Rick, because I was thinking this was going to be empty.
Yeah.
But when I walked out, I saw Mike. He wasn't with We gotta help each other overcome the storm. And Jesus will lead as long as we stay close to him. What Jesus? The Jesus that died on the cross. The Jesus that gave his life. The Jesus that rose on the third day. The Jesus that has all power in his hands. The Jesus that just is welcoming you and asking you to come to be with him. If there was ever a time for you to get with Jesus, this will sure enough be it. This will sure enough be it. We don't know what tomorrow may bring.
But we know
who holds might as well be in a good standing with him. Might as well be in a good place. Might as well be close to him. If he in charge, I want to be close. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We can get there. We will get there. As long as we believe in Jesus. High Street, let not your heart be troubled. I know, that's what he's saying. I know you believe in God. I also believe in my being your friend. This time is going to be just about our ability to believe and trust. Trust in the man who gave his life and rose. If there's no news, it's good. That's it. Jesus gave his life, died on the cross, and rose on the third day so that we'll be able to see him in peace. So when he talks about this mansion, we'll be able to go and enjoy all the amenities that come with. If you are here and you have not given your life to Christ, come on down to this man. Not to us. You see us. We're fragile. Don't come to us. Come to Jesus. Let him help you. Let them baptize you. Let's baptize you so you can be in this relationship. And maybe you said, look, Darwin, I already did that. And what I'm dealing with is my fragileness. Well, come on down and let's pray together. The only way we overcome is if we overcome together. We heal together. We love each other. We'll make it together. You can do that right this moment as we sing the song of invitation. Oh.